I'm absolutely flabbergasted by everything I've heard today, and the intelligence and the experience of the team that's producing this. So I wanted to thank you all. My credentials are very simple. I retired after 20 years in the United States Marine Corps as a lieutenant colonel. I was an infantry officer, a forest recon officer, and then I became an engineer, and I worked as an engineer for the Honeywell Corporation as a launch guidance engineer for the shuttle program, and then I became a special operations engineer for special environments and mechanical systems. I was the engineering officer and manager for the North Colorado Medical Center, for the Infectious Disease Research Center at Colorado State University in Colorado, and for the Center for Disease Control Vector-Borne Research Facility in Colorado, Fort Collins, Colorado. My interest in this actually peaked well before I had gotten into the knowledge of what was going on today. I was working for Hewlett-Packard, and in my engineering capacity, I was the biosafety officer for the Rocky Mountain West, and I was invited to go to a program called Dark Winter in Oklahoma City in June and of 2001. And at this point, I'm not sure how I was there. Share screen. I'm going to share my screen, and I'm going to pull up a fairly quick, and I am sincere, it's quicker than the others, presentation. Let me see. See if that'll open up. There we go. I don't know why that's still showing up there. There you go. So that's my resume. I already went through that with you. I've a master's of science degree in mechanical engineering and a BS in epidemiology. This is Dark Winter, and you've heard it referenced, and you may already be aware of it, but it was ostensibly a program supported by the government and private organizations in June 22nd and 23rd of 2001 at Andrews Air Force Base in Oklahoma City. You've heard Whitney just mentioned ANSWER, Homeland Security, and CSIS, the Oklahoma National Memorial, Center for Civilian Biodefense. These are all organizations that were precursors of all of the elements that it takes to eventually create a bioweapons system in the United States. So Dark Winter, this slide set they're seeing is only a very, very small part of a slide set that was generated during that presentation. And it was a presentation. It wasn't a real study. They called us in and said, we're going to study this. But basically, when we got there, they said, okay, here's what we're doing, and sit back and watch, and here's what we have come to conclusions. Please take this back to your companies and to your organizations and share it with them, because the government was totally in control of this. It was an exercise designed to simulate the possibility reaction to a deliberate introduction of smallpox in three states in 2002. Dark Winter was developed as a program by the Center for Strategic and International Studies and the Johns Hopkins Center and the ANSWER Institute for Homeland Security. And you've all, I believe you've all heard those names before. You're going to continue to hear as you go through this process of analyzing what's happening to our country. ANSWER, Institute for Homeland Security, was eventually converted to a nationally funded cabinet post called Homeland Security. The key participants, I'm going to show you who they are, what the goals are, what the introduction. It was a scenario. So our government, as you know, and many governments really love scenarios. They like to, well, what if we do this? What if this happens? What are going to be the next steps? So this was supposed to be a scenario study, but please note the characters that were playing this. This is in 2001, and some of the most key people and the government and the defense of the United States of America took their time off to go to Oklahoma City and ask the question, what happens if we get hit by smallpox? And smallpox is clearly defined by every organization out there, the World Health Organization, the CDC, the FEMA, everybody says it's a pandemic disease because it has a fatality rate, a true live fatality rate of about 32 to 33%, as opposed to the coronavirus, which, depending on who you're talking today, is maybe 0.012%. So they were using a true pandemic disease to see what would happen. But the people who came was Sam Nunn, a U.S. senator, Frank Keating. He was the governor of Oklahoma, the national security advisor to the United States, the CIA director for the United States, the Secretary of Defense, John White, the chairman of the United States military, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General John Tilley, Secretary of State for the United States was Frank Wisner, the Secretary of Health and Human Services was Margaret Hamburg, the Attorney General, George Twilliger, the Director of FEMA, Jerry Hauer, and the Director of the FBI. Now, I'm sure that this type of an assemblage of people has been formed before, but I don't think in the history of the United States they've ever come into a meeting like this, created a document, created a scenario, and then disappeared, because within two or three days of this program being ended, some of us got actual copies of the slide set, and everywhere else it disappeared. It was on the internet for a while, but if you recall back in 2001, the internet is not what it is today. And it took me several years to find this on the internet. In the meantime, I had a copy of it on my computer. And later, when I worked for the Infectious Disease Research Center and the CDC, I would bring this up to various researchers and ask them what they think of it. And they would all kind of turn green and walk away. They didn't want to talk about what this was about. So the question is, what would happen if a local biological weapon attack were to hit America with a contagious pathogen that could cripple the country? The government response will pose enormous challenge to civil liberties. The less we are, the less prepared we are, the more threats there will be to civil liberties. So in the beginning documentation, some of the first currents are civil liberties and what they are going to take away during this event. So I'm going to stay on that page for a moment and just say to you that during this study, it was 2 days long, and we got out early because this study, when we got there, they had all kinds of slides, and I'll be glad to show these slides to anybody who wants to see them. But the slides really show the thought process, the initiation of an agenda whereby they wanted to share with the people in the room. And the people in the room were people of science and industry and business. And they were saying to us, how will this affect you? They showed what happened after 1 day, after 6 days, after 3 days. How many people are sick? How many people are injured? How many people have died? And how does it progress? This document was provided as a means to create two or three things. One is a tutorial on how to initiate and get the results we want from a pandemic disease. The other would be is, how would we control? What would be the results? How many people would die? How do we take care of inoculations? This was of a known disease, which had an extraordinarily high fatality rate. And they translated that, and that gave them the opportunity to create an outline, a primer, a document that they can use when it comes time to create a bioweapon national security pandemic event. That's what they did. And like I said, I'll be glad to share the rest of these. My current presentation on Dark Winter is about 2.5 hours long because I go into all of the details about what a biosafety level 1, 2, 3, and 4 facility is, and where they are, and how they're used, and how our government and our universities are studying this. But there's a wealth of information in that slideshow, and Reiner asked me to keep it relatively short. So this is the beginning. This is the first stage where our government engaged some of the most powerful people in our administration to bring forth this concept. The next one was Operation Lockstep. And Operation Lockstep was ostensibly done by Ralph Emerson. He kept referring to John D. Rockefeller. It was claimed to be a three-step approach to a permanent lockdown resulting in massive depopulation. Now, I've done some significant research on this, and Operation Lockstep was actually a concept that was created by people doing research on not just Operation Lockstep, the book, which was a 54-page book by Ralph Emerson. Ralph Emerson wrote the book, The New World Order, and it was 320 pages. And the prima facie information from this entire Operation Lockstep came from page 18 in that book. There was two elements. The Operation Lockstep was created by information from the New World Agenda and another program that did come out of the Rockefeller Institution. So my question is, what is it really? So the published document is basically people got together and they said, okay, based on us reading the information in the New World Order, here's what we see is happening, and it fits fully well what's in the 320-page document of the New World Order. And this is very clearly patterned on what actually did happen. And the reason for that is that Operation Lockstep came out in the middle of June or July last year. There was a lot of people trying to refute it, but there was nobody that
What happened?
Created according to the documents in 1989. So you have 2001, Dark Winter. You have 1989 when Operation Lockstep and the birthing documents were created for that. And then we move forward as we go through our nation's history. We now have... you see the New World Order by Ralph Emerson. You see the Rockefeller Foundation and the Global Trading Organization, which contributed to the New World Order. Rockefeller contributed to the next book, which is about a 54-page book called Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development. That was done by the Rockefeller Foundation. And on the internet, you find that it keeps referring back to what you see on the right side of the page, which is the first phase, the second phase, the third phase. Back in 1989, nobody knew anything about 5G radiation. Nobody knew anything specifically about coronavirus. So somewhere this information came out, but it was truly a combination of data created in the New World Order. And I don't know how many people have read the New World Order, but it is a malevolent and a disgusting tutorial book on how to destroy Western civilization. And it cites George Bush and the whole litany of people that we keep talking on. The lockstep is...
James, can you do us a favor and read those three paragraphs Because I think this is extremely important for people to understand what happened in 1989.
I'll be glad to. First phase, common cold, flu, mild symptoms, at most media endorsement of mass paranoia and fear, flawed testing system utilized, which picks up any genetic material in the body and triggers a positive result. Inflation of COVID cases numbers through changing of death certificates, double counting and classifying all death, including other diseases and natural causes, as COVID-19 lockdown will condition us to live under draconian laws, prevent protests, and identify public resistance. That's step one. Phase two, the first phase will lead to the compromised and frail immune systems through lack of food, social distancing, wearing of masks, and lack of contact with sunlight and healthy bacteria. Exposure to 5G radiation will further attack the immune system. Thus, when people reemerge into society, more people will fall ill. This will be blamed on COVID-19. This will all occur before the vaccination is ready to be in order to justify it. A longer and more potent lockdown will follow until everyone takes the vaccine. That's their intention. Third phase, if a majority of the people resist the vaccine, a weaponized SARS, HIV, MERS virus will be released. A lot of people will die from this. It will be survival of the fittest. It will also be the ultimate push for everyone to be vaccinated in order to return to normality. Those who have taken the vaccine will be at war with those who have not been, and it will be anarchy. And the predominance of that came from that page 18 in the other document, which is scenarios for future technological international development. So this is all tied together, and this was poured out, and it was meant as a document to do two things: tell people where it's going, and if you tell somebody this is going to happen, you keep reading it, eventually people will get okay with it happening. We've heard that all day today. Let's go to the next one. Lockstep is the fulfillment of the concepts and goals expressed and solicited in the philosophies of the New World Order and the scenarios for the future of technology and international development. Those concepts and agendas were put into operation for COVID-19 pandemic. The author of the actual author of the lockstep documents is unknown, but it is clear that the lockstep was created in 1989. The New World Order was created in 1989, and the scenarios for a future technology were created in 2010, and that's when the other document known as locksteps was created. The next page, I don't know if you all can read this, and I'll try not to read too much of it, but this is the concept and the scenario. This is the lockstep scenario. So this was a scenario done by our government studying what lockstep should be: a world of tighter top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership with limited innovation and growing citizen pushback. In 2012, the pandemic that the world had been anticipating for years finally hit. Unlike 2009's H1N1, this new influenza strain originating from wild geese, that's a wild guess, was extremely virulent and deadly. Even the most pandemic-prepared nations were quickly overwhelmed when the virus streaked around the world, infecting nearly 20% of the global population and killing 8 million in just 7 months. The majority of them healthy young adults. The pandemic also had a deadly effect on economies, international mobility, at both people and goods screeched to a halt, debilitating industries like tourism and breaking global supply chains, even locally, normally bustling shops and buildings sat empty for months, devoid of both employees and customers. The pandemic blanketed the planet through disproportionate numbers, died in Africa, Southeast Asia, and Central America, where the virus spread like wildfire in the absence of official containment protocols. But even in the developed countries, containment was a challenge. The United States' initial policy of strongly discouraging citizens from flying proved deadly in its leniency. I'm going to skip to the next. However, a few countries did fare better, China in particular. The Chinese government was quick imposition and enforcement of a mandate quarantine for all its citizens, as well as its instant and near hermetic sealing off of the borders, saved millions. This information was written. This is where the entire concept came from. So they had dark winter. They decided that they really didn't want to use something like smallpox, and the enhanced development and genetic modifications of diseases is practiced all over the world, and ostensibly it's used for the development of medication and preventive medicine. But the reality is, and I say this having been there in running the laboratories, I've worked on 6 coronaviruses. I've worked on 78 other biosafety level 3 and 3+ diseases. The reason that the universities and the military and the government do this research is a bioweapons program. They are trying to find tools that are less expensive to use against a common enemy. Develop tools that they can control. The whole development and the process, when I worked for CDC and CSU, there was never a time that I saw any vaccine go out in less than 6 years. And they tried to tell us, they tried to tell people of science that they have created vaccines that are safe. And there are 4 different vaccines that do different things to the human body. And oh, by the way, we did it in less than 9 months. Ladies and gentlemen, I can only tell you that from my perspective, it's lies, lies, and damn lies. Finally, on October 18th, 2019, many of you already know what happened, but the Johns Hopkins Center, the Bill and Melinda Gates Group, and the World Economic Forum, here we go back to the financial side of this atrocity, the Johns Hopkins Center and for Health Security, in partnership with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates, hosted event 2001, a high-level pandemic exercise on October 18th, 2019 in New York. The exercise illustrated areas where public-private partnerships will be necessary during the response to a severe pandemic in order to diminish large-scale economic and social consequences. Statement about the novel coronavirus and our pandemic exercises. In recent years, the world has seen a growing number of epidemic events amounting to approximately 200 events annually. These events are increasing, and so on. The experts agree that it's only a matter of time before the epidemics become global. How could they possibly put together a meeting with all of the most important people in the East Coast, in New York City on October 28th, and all of a sudden, less than a month later, we now have coronavirus coming out of the Hunan province. And I will tell you, having managed these facilities, I've managed one of the largest in the country at Colorado State University. They don't accidentally get out. You can take them out. When I work there, I could walk out any day with Yersinia pestis, with HIV, with tuberculosis, with all kinds of corona. The coronas weren't even used to in level three facilities. They were worked on in level two. You ask why I've got the Central Intelligence Agency. So the question still remains, how come all of the media, you get up in the morning and you listen to one radio station, go to a TV station, and they all say exactly the same thing. Did you all know about Operation Mockingbird? Mockingbird is a CIA program that was created after World War II, and it is still operational today. It's where the CIA creates the dialogue and works with the six or seven ultra media systems in the world. And I can say this because you don't know her name, but my daughter is a military intelligence officer with the U.S. Army. She's been in for 12 years. She's a major selected for lieutenant colonel. And I showed this to her and she said, yeah, that's what they do. They do it now. So the question, there's lots of question as to why. And I think the question is just exactly as every one of you have spoken to today. But this is an important piece of information that I wanted to share with you. When I started managing the infectious disease research centers, both of them in Fort Collins, about 14 years ago, there were 25 to 27 biosafety level 3 and 4 laboratories in the world. It's now 2022, and this is directly off the CDC's website. I've compared it to other websites as well. And this is the distribution of biosafety level 3 and 4 laboratories around the world. And you can see that Australia has 4. Almost all the rest of the countries have them. Have Germany has 4. India has 3. The United Kingdom has 6. The United States has 15. And when I started in this business, there were 3. And the biosafety level 3s, now these are the ones that work on diseases like coronavirus, which is the influenza, which is HIV, the things that are not extraordinarily capable of being made into a bioweapon. But the BSL-3s are the test beds for the 4s. There are several smaller countries have 1 or 2 BSLs, BSL-3s. All of the countries on the BSL-4 list have similar numbers of BSL-3 labs now as the BSL-4. The United States of America has over 200 biosafety level 3 labs in the continental United States. So between BSL-3 and 4, the United States of America has 215 bioweapons research facilities. They call them normal research, but I can tell you it's not true.
James,
so that's, yes.
One question. I must ask you these two questions, because having looked at the documents you showed us from Operation Lockstep, I mean, you quoted these 3 paragraphs. Were these terms really included in that document? I mean, terms like COVID-19 and what's the other one, 5G? Was that really included?
Well, that's from a book.
Very observant. And that's absolutely the answer to the question is in the document that people are using for Lockstep, that's exactly what they are. That's I found that document all over the internet. I said I could not find an author of that particular document. It said it was page 18 in all references. It said it was page 18, and the page 18 it was referring to was the scenario page that I had pulled up. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can go back.
Okay, but that's basically like maybe an inspiration that they used for the lockstep scenario.
No, the question is, was it really included back then? Was it in 1989? Were these two terms?
No. There's the 2020 document that was on the internet, and in the scenario for future technology and international development, and I apologize, I was going to put page 18. Well, no, this is page 18. The lockstep scenarios?
No, the other three paragraphs. We just looked at it.
Yeah.
It is slide number 10. It is slide number, that's it.
That is the one that was on
not this one,
the internet.
Slide number 10.
Yeah, that one.
That one.
Okay. This slide on the right-hand side?
Yes. Is that really originally from that book written in 1989?
No, it is not.
Uh-huh.
And what I'm saying is this was the document here and this slide was made up from someone going in and referring to this page. Can you see that?
Yeah.
That's from the lockstep, which was done by the Rockefeller Institute. They took that and they transmorphized the current events and they plugged in the concepts from this paragraph and they made it. But the world believes this. And what the irony is, if you look at the content of the paragraph from the scenarios for the future of technology document, that's where they got this information from. And the 5G and the COVID-19 are not in that other paragraph.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this tie, but it still ties it all together because the information was there in 1989, 2001, 2010, and then again for Event 201 in 2019. Mm-hmm. So there is a progression that goes along with the historical dialogue that your other history speakers and experts presented. And this one really shares the information. And from my perspective, dark winter is a critical factor in showing that they had the ability and the intent to do a preparation that actually reflected the same thing as Event 201. Mm-hmm. 201 was just the second dark winter. Mm-hmm. So that's dark winter, and that's the information that I can share with you on Operation Mockingbird. And the lockstep. The lockstep, after we started doing some more research, I wanted to do exactly what you said. I wanted to find this particular page mm-hmm. in that book, the New World Order by Ralph Epperson. Mm-hmm. I went there looking for it. It's not there. I went for the scenarios for the future of technology. It's not there. And I looked up all of the information I could on the internet. And clearly someone made that particular document to match it, and it was an attempt to coordinate that. And it gives some credence to the New World Order. I don't know how many people on the group right now have read the New World Order. I'm gonna try to get out of here.
The problem with documents as such as that one is that it is not only confusing, but it makes us look bad if we turn
to documents.
Exactly,
and that's why I wanted to show it to you. Because I'm not sure we can use lockstep unless we simply refer to the New World Order and the scenarios. Mm-hmm. Those two stand all the tests. Lockstep does not.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
There we are. There you are.
Okay. Well, thank you, James. That leads us all the way to probably the World Health Organization's role in all of this. But we have two more speakers for that. In the meantime, however, are there any questions that Virginie, Dexter, Deepali want to ask?
Thank you, Mr. Bush. Thank you for that evidence. But I just want to find out from you, you have mentioned that based on your experience, it takes approximately not less than 6 years before a vaccine goes to market. I would like you to make a connection with Operation Warp Speed. How does that basically tie in? Because in a sense, it seems like when it comes to the fact that they've actually expedited this vaccines, COVID-19 vaccines to the market, they justify it and they say no, but this is in line with Operation Warp Speed. Can you basically just give some clarity in relation to that, sir?
The answer to that is they are not doing a true vaccine. They are creating a DNA modifier. It's an injection that has nothing to do with the normal process of taking a live disease and learning how to fight it with the human biome and applying the right chemicals and right endurances to the testing and going over time doing animal testing, and developing an actual vaccine. The material they're injecting into people today, as far as I'm concerned, and like I said, I've worked on vaccines for 12 years in environments where my job in those facilities was, I operated the biosafety committee and I kept the disease from getting out, and I kept people, during my tenure, no one, there were 6,000 researchers in those facilities, no one ever got sick. So we knew what caused the sickness. We were able to stop that. But it was also built into the understanding and the knowledge that you cannot develop a vaccine accurately in less time than 6 years. And so when I started hearing people say, we're going to have one this year, they're injecting materials that who knows what is in it. I'm not a physicist, I'm not a MD, and I'm not a research doctor. I worked with them, and I can tell you that there will never be inoculation going in my arms or anyone in my family, because I fear what's in there. And that's what some of your other experts are going to testify to as well. Look at the results we've already talked about today with how people are reacting. They are reacting to something very quickly, shortly after getting the inoculation, and that doesn't stand the test of a true vaccination.
Thank you, sir.
And I just want to reiterate, for if there's any question at all, when the allusion was that some type of Wuhan disease got out of the Wuhan laboratory is a BSL-3N4. The virus they were working on in China was in a BSL-3, so it does not meet the requirement for the extreme care and consideration and security that a BSL-4 does. And when I managed the facilities in Colorado, we did tests to find out if people could get out of our building with select agent. A select agent, again, go to the CDC's website and look up select agent, and it basically tells you that a select agent that can be genetically modified to make it into a weapon of mass destruction. That's why they call them select agents. But at that time, we did tests. We had U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, U.S. AMRID, people come in, the FBI, the local fire department, police, and we did tests to find out if somebody could get out of our facility. There was no way to stop them. If somebody wants to get out with that material, they couldn't be stopped. So there is, of those laboratories that I just showed you the numbers on, there's no way to stop anybody from getting those things out of there. Mm-hmm. So what they are working on in these, as far as I'm concerned, it's a bioweapons program. And what they're working on is basically the ability to modify other forms of injections to control and to kill the general population. And that's why they're doing it in lockstep. It's a chimeric. Are you all familiar with the chimeric concept? You can have, pardon me?
You can explain that concept.
A chimeric drug is you develop a drug and you inject that into an animal, an agent, or a person. And it sets up the body for certain reactions. And then you come back with the second part of the chimera, the two part, and you inject that, and that causes extraordinarily big changes and or death. So I believe the inoculations are chimeric. And to go along with your question about the vaccines themselves, how is it possible that you have a disease? There's two questions here. How is it possible you have a disease that is being solved and has a solution being created at 95 to 100% efficacy with four different types of inoculations that don't even resemble each other in their content? And beyond that, in the history of mankind, science, medicine has never come up with a cure for the common cold and the common flu, both of which are coronaviruses. Well, I'll leave you with that.
In the meantime, Jim, I'm sorry, Dexter.
No, it's fine. No, you can continue, Rainer.
I just meant to mention that other experts who will testify have in the meantime clarified the situation, at least as far as BioNTech Pfizer is concerned. It does not have an efficacy of 95%. It's less than 1%. Some people even say it has absolutely no efficacy whatsoever. This is because we see countries that have a very high vaccination rate also have very high, like Israel, like the UK, also have very high what they call breakthrough cases. So in other words, the vaccines don't seem to work at all. In other words, you're probably right, Jim. We cannot call these injections vaccines, but we will learn more about this from other experts.
I applaud everything you're all doing, and if I can help anymore, I shall do well.
Jim, thank you so much. Thank you very much for walking us through these three exercises. Thank you.